He fathered her baby.
You have a child together.
Yes, that's correct.
He slandered her name.
That's a flyer for my band.
With words that says, we'll have sex for beer.
She is known in town as the narcoleptic beer slut.
He threatened her life.
He was holding a loaded gun to my head while I was 8 months pregnant.
Now she wants payback.
He had drawn crosshairs on my face that's on the flyer.
Judge Judy.
That makes you a lowlife, amoral piece of crap.
You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheinman. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is her courtroom. This is Judge Judy. 21-year-old student Sari Anderson is suing her ex-boyfriend, 24-year-old musician Bruce DeVino Jr., for defaming her character by creating a slanderous flyer.
Order. All rise. The honest is case number 579 on the calendar in the matter of Anderson versus DeVino Jr. Parties have been sworn in. Judge, you may be seated. Ma'am, have a seat, please.
Miss Anderson, Mr. DeVino and you have a child together.
Yes, that's correct.
That has yet to be proven, Your Honor.
Well, that's what she claims. I gather you had a relationship that lasted a reasonably long period of time. Is that right?
Yeah.
How long?
About 10 months.
And how old is the child?
She is 7 months.
Did the relationship terminate while you were pregnant?
We were together until I was about 8 months pregnant, and then at that point, he was arrested on charges against me regarding domestic violence, which involved him holding a loaded gun to my head while I was 8 months pregnant. I feel this is relevant.
But you lived together until you were 8 months pregnant?
Yeah, and then this happened. He was intoxicated and came home and just decided to make some choices that put him in jail. And
Your Honor, if you read the transcripts, she'll testify that she...
Just a second.
Okay.
Just a second. And it was not an amicable breakup. Is
no.
that right?
Right.
Okay. And he was arrested.
Right.
And you were 8 months pregnant.
Right.
It is your claim that Mr. DeVino distributed nude photographs depicting you with some sort of defamatory writing on it.
Yes, yes, I have the original photo and the original flyer right here if you'd
like
to
see it, please.
There's the original flyer. And there's the original photo that was used on the flyer. And
yes.
I also wanted to bring to your attention that he had drawn crosshairs on the face, on my face that's on the flyer. And I considered that threatening alone just because of the nature of his crimes against me in the past when I was 8 months pregnant. And
okay,
which
just
been
one
the
second.
Reason.
Just one second. Well, clearly, this picture of your face on this flyer is taken from this photograph.
Correct.
That's clear. You don't deny that, sir. Is that right?
What? That is her head on that body?
Yes.
I don't deny that. That's obvious. That's
okay.
Her head.
Okay. Did you have anything to do with superimposing the face of the plaintiff on the body that's contained in this flyer?
No.
Who did?
I'm not going to state the person's name. But
yes, you will.
A member of the band.
Oh, yes, you will. If you know, you will. That's why you're here. Who did?
Well, I submitted the written information, Your Honor. I have a, can I submit this as?
I want you, Mr. DeVino, to answer my questions. That's what you're here for, Mr. DeVino. That's what a trial is designed to do.
Okay.
You say that you did not superimpose the face of the plaintiff,
done.
I'm speaking.
Sorry.
The face of the plaintiff on this flyer. But you know who did, so I want to know the name of the person who did.
I wasn't there when it was done, Your Honor. I submitted the photograph and the
You submitted
portions.
The photograph to whom?
I have to tell you the person's name that did it. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
I would like to...
Just a minute. Mr. DeVino. The questions are going to get harder from here, sir. I'm telling you, they're going to get harder from here. I'm going to find out how this got made, if it was in fact distributed. And then I have to make a determination if there is any liability on your part. Do you understand?
I understand, Your Honor.
All right, fine. And, so then let me hear the name of the person, since you know the name of the person who created this image. My next question is how you know that person and what participation, if any, you had in creating this flyer. That doesn't necessarily make you liable to the plaintiff, but it's a start of gathering information. Do you understand, Mr. DeVino?
Yes, ma'am.
Now, the name of the person.
Casey.
And how do you know Casey?
She is a friend of mine and an ex-friend of hers.
Now, don't tell me who my friends are.
Listen to me. I don't want to hear from you now. Now I'm talking to Mr. DeVino. Do you understand?
Yes, I understand.
Perfect. How did you or Casey come into possession of this photograph, sir?
I received it from the plaintiff after the child was born when I was in jail.
How long did you spend in jail?
About 5 months.
And that was on the plaintiff's complaint?
Yes.
What did you do with this photograph, either while you were in jail or after you were released from jail?
We had a show coming up.
What kind of show, sir?
I play in a band. That's a flyer for my band, okay, of a show that we played. And I submitted to her the written information that you'll see highlighted on that flyer. And I also submitted the photograph, and she laughed and said she was going to do something funny.
She was going to create a flyer for your band?
Yes.
To advertise.
She actually collaborated with some of the other band members.
Casey was going to, at your request, create a flyer for an upcoming concert with your band?
Yes.
And was she going to create it with input from you or with no input from you?
She did it on her own free will.
I want you to be very clear. You do not look like an unintelligent man.
That I'm not.
Was she going to create this flyer with input from you or without input from you?
Well, I submitted, like I stated, the written information that's obtained on the flyer that's highlighted.
Okay. How did it come about with regard to creating this flyer? You turned over to Casey the plaintiff's photograph. I want you to be very careful about your answer to me, sir, and I want you to believe me that some people are tall, I am not. Some people have flowing hair, I do not. Some people are very statuesque, I am not. I was blessed with a crystal ball. Made up for my lack of height. So I want you to tell me how it came to pass that Casey came into possession of this photograph in relation to her preparing this flyer.
I gave it to her.
And what did you say to her when you gave it to her?
I told her to do whatever she wanted with it.
Now, when she concluded her work on the flyer, she submitted it to you for your approval. Is that right?
I received a stack of the flyers, Your Honor.
And what did you do with the stack that you received?
I did what I would do with a flyer for my band. I gave them to people to promote the show.
Okay. And when you gave them to people, you provided, according to you, Casey with the highlighted information, but not the words, "We'll have sex for beer."
That's not my handwriting.
That you did not.
I have
submit.
Examples of his handwriting as well.
Just a second. Did I ask you for a question?
No, you didn't.
No. This, you allege, Casey put in on her own. Is that right?
Yes.
But when you received the flyers in order to distribute them, these words, "We'll have sex for beer," were on the flyers.
Yes.
So you knew you were distributing a flyer with the plaintiff's face and these words.
Yes.
Why did you do that, Mr. DeVino?
Well, Your Honor, you don't know the defendant the way that I and a lot of other people do. And she's known in town as the narcoleptic beer slut because she has sex with everybody. And when I met her, she was a drunk, pill-popping junkie.
Just a second.
And
please, he's entitled to present a defense.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Sari Anderson says ex-boyfriend Bruce DeVino Jr. defamed her character with a slanderous flyer. Bruce says Sari has no character to defame.
Go ahead.
I was actually going to bring signed affidavits from people, but
I don't take signed affidavits.
I know, that's why I didn't bring them.
Go ahead.
But, you know, I was supposed to have people here to testify to that.
But you have nobody. So just you were explaining to me, sir, why you distributed these flyers.
Well, Your Honor, this is a frivolous lawsuit for many reasons. The first reason...
Mr. DeVino, I asked you a question.
Why I distributed the flyers?
An answer.
Okay.
Direct. Why did you distribute them with her picture on a body, which is a woman's body that also contained, looks as if it contains a penis, with words that says, "We'll have sex for beer"?
For two reasons.
So, That's good. Now let's get to the two reasons.
A couple of reasons, actually. The first reason is I thought it was funny because her character can't possibly get any more defamed than it already is in our city.
Okay.
The second reason is because in the People v. Larry Flint decision, he basically earned the right to do that to people by a Supreme Court decision. And the third reason is because she really is the narcoleptic beer slut.
Okay. Did you go to law school, Mr. DeVino?
No, I didn't.
Well, you don't warrant my giving you a short course in First Amendment because I believe that you are an insignificant, lowlife piece of crap.
Thank you.
And I'm going to tell you why, sir. You have yet to go to court to determine whether this baby is your biological child or not, but I assume that that matter will be determined in a court. And one must assume that someone who is not a lowlife, amoral piece of crap, despite the fact that they may not have wanted fatherhood, would not want to do anything if, in fact, this is your child, to taint the child's mother.
She's
to taint, I'm speaking.
Sorry.
To taint the child, to do anything to embarrass the person who could be the mother of your child, so that the following is clear. You are not a journalist. You are not in the business of publication. Totally different from Larry Flint, which gives him some license. Your purpose, other than battery, is to perform in a band. Part of that function does not include First Amendment rights to exploit other people in order to promote your individual entrepreneurial entertainment adventure. Now, you chose, based on being vindictive because you spent 5 months in jail, to furnish Casey with the ability to use this photograph, which was not sent to you for that purpose, for her to incorporate it in something that advertised your product without her consent, and did so in the most exploitive way. That makes you a lowlife, amoral piece of crap. The plaintiff is suing you because it's clear you acknowledge that you distributed this. Now, the fact that Casey, you say, prepared this, she is also a lowlife, amoral piece of crap. But she is not here for me to tell her that. So you can relay that to her for me. And the only thing that I can hope for you, Mr. DeVino, and for the people who live in this town where you live, is that they will show their disgust.
And they do.
Shh, just a second. I'm speaking. To show their disgust and disdain for you by never going to listen to your band ever. As just a public statement that they will not tolerate somebody exploiting someone else because of viciousness. And so I hope that your band goes dry. Judgment for the plaintiff in the amount of $4,000. That's all.
Nobody has the right to do what he did to me for any reason, just because they're angry or spiteful or whatever.
I don't even care, man. That got lucky.
He's just angry because I don't want to be with him.
Everybody knows it.
I love my daughter, but I feel unfortunate that he is, you know, in the picture.
I'm embarrassed by the fact that that thing is the mother of my child, which hasn't been proven yet.
I think he's pathetic.
I plan on signing over all rights because I don't want anything to do with her or her baby.
And now the next case.
All parties in the matter of Moss versus Parks. Step forward, please.
20-year-old salesperson Casey Moss is suing ex-girlfriend, 20-year-old hairstylist Cynthia Parks, for unauthorized withdrawals from their joint checking account.
Mr. Moss, you and the defendant dated for a long time. Is that right?
About
how long?
About 4 years.
And there came a time then that you and the defendant committed what I consider the ultimate stupidity. You opened a joint checking account.
That's correct.
About how far into the relationship did you open this joint checking account?
Well, I had the account about 2 years previous before she had the account. So halfway through, we added her to the account.
And it's your claim that when you broke up, she emptied out the checking account and wrote another check that bounced. Is that right?
Yes.
That's not true.
Just a second. Why did you add her name to the checking account?
I added her name to the checking account. We were together and we were in love and kind of planning for the future to maybe save money. I was also saving money to actually move out of the house and maybe have financials to go to school and things like that, trying to save up.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
You still didn't answer my question. Why did you add her name to your account?
Well, she actually asked also if she could be added to the account.
And you said?
I said, yeah, no problem. If we're together, I was trusting her.
And no, you said no problem.
Yeah.
So then it's your joint checking account. Did you ever put any money into that account?
Yes, I did. I put my Pell Grant from when I went to Cal State Fullerton. Like every semester, I put like around $1,300.
I just want to know, you did also put money into that account?
Yes,
whether
I did.
You took it out or not. But you were together, lived together, and did you live together?
No, we didn't live together. We lived separately.
Well, you lived separately and had a joint account. You wrote out a check, according to him, for a new boyfriend who needed bail. Now that I want you to tell me about.
I wrote the check to the bail bonds, but when he got out, he paid cash for it, and we stopped that check. Like, they didn't cash the check. And I have the receipt right here.
Why would you use that money for that purpose?
I love him, and...
You love who? Jailbird? Huh?
He's not a jailbird.
Give me this.
I have a copy of the check.
Was it paid?
No, it wasn't paid.
It wasn't paid?
It was $940, so they didn't want to pay the check. It was a little too much in amount. I have two other checks that she wrote that did go through to different things. Albertsons, Save on Drugs.
Listen. I was just curious about this. So they did not pay this check for $940?
No, they didn't.
Okay. Look, Mr. Moss, this is not a very difficult case, sir. It's a very easy case. For 2 years that you had this account, you had your money in the account.
And I was only one with a job, and...
I don't care.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any difference to me. You were the only one. You had access to the account. It was your money. You put it in. As soon as you added her name to the account, it became commingled funds. There are courts for people who are married, but there are no courts for people who are almost living together in love and do dumb things like buy things jointly, put money in joint accounts, take out credit cards together.
We had broken up and I didn't ever cancel the account.
That's your fault!
Because she said that she was going to, that it was just a break and we hadn't totally broken up yet.
Mr. Moss, aren't you following me, sir? You had the ability to go into that account and clean out the account.
Correct.
She has the ability to go into that account and take out all the money because she is a joint owner on that account.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get your money back. No court is going to go over all of your expenses over a 2-year period and what money you put in and what money she put in. You're not married. Don't open up a joint savings account. Don't you open up a joint checking account. Then you won't be in this trouble, sir.
Oh, I understand.
Good. Goodbye.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
He got a ticket a while ago when he had weed in his car, and he asked me if I could pay for it and so he wouldn't be on probation. So I said, okay, and he never paid me the money back.
She told me that she would pay me back in payments and that she wanted to apologize.
I never promised him that I would pay him back.
She maliciously took the money out of the account.
I think it was a waste of time to come to court because, I mean, there was no case.
Don't trust the girl and don't get an account with her.